Let us save image worship for next week. And let us linger with our Savior for a little while tonight in John 11. We'll read the chapter, John 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. We'll consider verses 41 through 44. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this part of John 11, we come to the event that would finally galvanize the chief priests and the leaders to seek Jesus' life. Up to this point, Jesus had been a great nuisance to the chief priests and the leaders. But the raising of Lazarus from the dead convinced them, we have to put him to death. We have to. The reason it convinced them they had to put him to death was because many of the Jews, verse 45, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he stood before the people as the resurrection and the life, and as he brought the word of God to the people and revealed the will and the counsel of God, saved his people. And so the chief priests had to finally seek to put him to death. The passage that we're going to look at briefly tonight, we find the pinnacle of this whole chapter. Everything that we've seen so far in John 11 has led up to this. Everything that comes next will flow from this. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And he does it by his word. His word that is living and powerful, which same word raises us and saves us from all our sin and death. Let's start at the beginning of verse 41 then. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. What must that have been like for the Lord Jesus Christ to have the stone taken away from the grave? We know from other places in this chapter that that grave had an effect on Jesus. It had an effect on him. We read of his weeping and his groaning in himself in connection with the grave. That's earlier in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? That's the grave where he's laid. Jesus groans in the spirit at the thought of that grave. And then verse 35, Jesus wept after they had said, Lord, come and see that tomb, that grave. And then again, verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. The grave had an effect on Jesus because that grave represented Jesus' own death and his own grave. Now the stone is taken away from Lazarus' grave, and there stands Jesus looking into that pit that he would be in before long. And that pit was awful. That pit represented the curse of Jehovah God against sin. The word of God regarding sin is, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. And now Jesus stands before death and the grave, with all of its power and all of its horror. What must it have been for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what was coming, to stand in front of that grave? What must it have been? As the Lord stood in front of that grave, and even as the grave had an effect on him, the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking of the glory of God. That's what he prays in verses 41 and 42. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ, standing before that grave, having wept at the thought of that grave, prays audibly and publicly to his Father in heaven in the hearing of all of the people assembled there, so that God may receive the glory for what is about to happen. Jesus here in front of the grave is mindful of what he had said and promised at the beginning of the chapter when he explained Lazarus' sickness this way, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, that is, this sickness is not for the purpose of the glory of death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus glorifying God as he stands before the open tomb is a lesson for us, who also sometimes must stand before a grave and lay to rest a loved one. There at the grave, as the sorrow of our loss hits home, and as it is driven into our hearts that this is our last earthly contact with our loved one, we may think of the glory of God and the fact that death is not for the purpose of the glory of death. It is not the victory of Satan, and it is not the victory of sin, but it is for the glory of God. Jesus explains his prayer in verse 42. He had prayed, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." And then he continues, "And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." I knew that thou hearest me always. There Jesus is identifying himself again. Throughout this passage, he's identifying himself. I am the resurrection and the life. And here he identifies himself. I knew that thou hearest me always. Father, Father, I knew that thou hearest me always. Jesus identifies himself as the beloved Son of God and the eternal Son of God, sent by God for the salvation of his people from their sins. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ there for hurting sinners, for broken hearts. Jesus prayed out loud for the people to hear him, though he himself knew that God hears him always, in order that the people which stood by would believe that God had sent Jesus. Jesus here is building the faith of these mourning people in him. And what does it mean that God sent him? What does it mean for God to send Jesus? What could God have done? What could God have done to me and to you? What could he have sent? Fire and brimstone, which is just hell. The lake of fire picked up in the hand of God and poured out over rebels. That's what he could have sent to me and to you. That's what I deserve. The lake of fire poured on my head. Did God send? Jesus. Jesus, the Savior. God sent Jesus, the Savior, to drink that lake of fire, to take all of the fire and brimstone that I deserved, all of the curse of God's wrath against the sins of his elect people. He sent Jesus to suffer in our stead. And that points out then the mercy and compassion of Jehovah and the long-suffering patience of Jehovah with his people. The child of God with broken heart and trembling at the thought of the judgment of God may take refuge here in this prayer that Jesus prayed in order that they who stand by, that's all of us, may believe that God sent Jesus. This builds our faith. This keeps our eyes fixed on the Savior. This gives us the comfort of our salvation. Verse 43, and when Jesus thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus' cry with a loud voice was not because by the volume of that voice he could penetrate Lazarus' dead ears. Jesus' cry with a loud voice was for our sakes that stand by again. Jesus' cry with a loud voice was the cry of authority. Lazarus, I have authority over you. Come forth. And Jesus' cry with a loud voice was the cry of authority over death. Lazarus, you who are bound in death, I have authority even over death. I have the key of death and hell, and I open the grave. Lazarus, come forth. The point of that cry of Jesus with a loud voice is to show that it is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that raises the dead. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves from death. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings salvation. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that's the same word by which the Lord Jesus Christ saves us. It's his word. Come forth. Arise, live. What a thing for the Savior to speak to Lazarus. To Lazarus. What was Lazarus? Dead and rotting. That's what he was. Dead and decomposing. Lazarus was corruption in that grave. And that's you and that's me. We are dead and rotting spiritually. We are corrupt spiritually. The word of God comes forth, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the gospel of salvation in him, and makes what was dead alive. The word of Jesus Christ with authority declares to the broken child of God, humbled under the hand of God, live. Live. There's a mystery here for how that word operates. How is it that this word can be spoken to the dead? How is it that the dead can hear that word? That's the mystery of our salvation too. How is it that we who are corrupt and dead in sin in ourselves can hear this word of God? How is it that this word of God can penetrate into our minds and into our hearts so that we are comforted with the knowledge of the Lord's mercy and salvation? mystery is this, that the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the power of God, carries forth that word into us and makes us live. The Spirit carries the word and makes that word effectual and powerful, so that that word accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried out with a loud voice, he cried out that word on the wings of his breath. And that breath is his Spirit, so that the Spirit of Jesus Christ carried forth the word of Jesus Christ into Lazarus and caused Lazarus to live. And that's how that word comes forth into our hearts as well. It accomplishes what that word says. The Spirit of Jesus Christ carries forth the word. The word that says, I love my church and am merciful to her. I forgive my penitent people broken in their sin. The Spirit of Christ carries forth that word of Christ and accomplishes in our own heart that understanding, that truth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ was powerful to accomplish what it said, so that he that was dead no more. Lazarus came forth. There is in Lazarus' resurrection a testimony that a better resurrection awaits. When Lazarus came forth, he was still all bound up in the grave clothes of the earth. He was wrapped head to foot in the burial cloth and strips that were wound around the limbs and the body of the dead in those days, so that Jesus had to say to those standing by, loose him and let him go. That better resurrection is coming in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns on the clouds of heaven and cries out with a loud voice to all of his who are dead, buried in the grave, come forth. Our bodies will be raised perfect. No more corruption, no more weakness. Made fit for heaven, reunited with our souls, that we may live in the new heavens and the new earth with Jehovah God forever. That's the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to those who are miserable in their sin and iniquity and broken in their heart. Jehovah God speaks his word. The Lord Jesus Christ declares his gospel. Come forth, live, and we live. He comfort us with that truth. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this evening. Wilt thou bless it to our hearts? Wilt thou give us the comfort of our salvation in Jesus Christ? And teach us, Father, in gratitude for that comfort and for that salvation, to go forth to the glory of thy name in obedience to thee, seeking thy glory, honoring thee even in our lives. Hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 76, number 76. We'll sing the four stanzas, all four of 76. Keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.